Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you'd like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, as we get ready to get started here, just some housekeeping reminders here that when someone wishes to speak, go ahead and turn on your microphone, unmute your mic. Please state your name clearly prior to speaking. That way it gets picked up on the audio. Remember to mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Public comment will be called prior to each vote and at the end of the meeting. Should you have a comment, please wait until it is called for, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Okay? With that, we will move along now to item number 3, which is discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for May the 5th, 2020. County Manager Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, or Mr. Chairman, we do. We would like to continue number 9 and number 10 to tomorrow, which is the May 6, 2020 County Commission meeting that would take place as posted on the Zoom. We would also like to continue number 8, that is the hazard mitigation plan, by the way, to the June 2, 2020 meeting. So number 9, which is correspondence related to the governor letter, number 10, which is a new letter to the governor, and number 8, which is the hazard mitigation plan. 9 and 10 would be to the tomorrow meeting of 5:06, and then number 8 would be to the 06:02 meeting. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Is there a public comment regarding today's agenda? And this, like everything else, we'll go ahead and we'll delay a little bit between the time that I ask a question and wait for a response, because we know that there's a little bit of a time lapse in between going across the internet and back. So with that said, if I can go ahead and get a commissioner to go ahead and motion to approve the agenda with the changes made.
I move to approve the May 5th agenda with the noted modifications.
All second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion for possible action. This is approval of the meeting minutes for April the 7th of 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
I move to approve the meeting minutes for April 7th, 2020.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. It's today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. No action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll go ahead and we'll start with Sheriff Antonoro from the Sheriff's Office.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jerry. Over at Public Works Operations, Mike Northan, are you on the line today? From the Community Chest in the Library, Eric Schoen.
Yeah, thank you. No report today. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
Assessor Jana Seddon.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Jana Seddon, Story County Assessor. I just want to let everyone know that we finally were able to, with a last-minute push and very long hours by Ms. Witten, we were able to finally get all of our business personal property accounts billed. So we should start seeing a vast increase in money's coming into the county finally. With that, we're starting into our new endeavor. We're going to be doing new construction out in the field. We'll be doing a lot of drive-bys. We will not be approaching doors and knocking on doors. So possibly, hopefully, a lot of the residents of the county, when they see us there, we might be walking around, keeping our distance, but again, we'll not be approaching doors and knocking on doors. So we might have an influx of people calling, wondering, just wandering around in their yards. Other than that, business as usual, I'm carrying on.
Excuse me, Jenna. When does that start?
Sorry, Jay, you were breaking up and I missed your entire question.
When will you all start heading out so I can let the residents in the Highlands know?
We hit Mark Twain on Thursday, but we didn't really have to get out most of the stuff that we are going to do. We'll have to go back. There's quite a few things that need to be measured, and if there's people out and about, we're not even approaching right now. But I'm hoping probably later this week and definitely next week for the Highlands and Virginia City.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. I'm going to go back to just to the piece, Arrington. I see you on video, but I didn't hear anything, so I don't know if you had your microphone on. I'm not having any luck there. Okay, County Recorder, Marnie Hanson-Martinez.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Marnie. Do we have the V&T Railroad Commission General Manager, Elaine Spencer, on today? Story Senior Center, Stacy York.
This is Barbara Mather reporting for Stacy.
Okay.
Stacy is volunteering down at the first day of testing in Carson City for the COVID-19, so she is down there helping out with that. But she did want me to report that everything right now is status quo for the Senior Center.
Very good. Would you like to go ahead and have a report of your own now since you're up front and center?
Sure, nothing to report for me, thank you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Laura. The Lockwood Senior Center, Beth Kempf. Director of IT, James Dean. Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbeski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing new to report today.
Thank you, Jason. Our labor relations, Jeannie Green.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Administrative Officer and HR Director, Jen Chapman.
Nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning, nothing to report today.
Thanks, Dave. Director of the VCTC, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Dotson for the record here. We opened up a little bit. Obviously, everyone knows, a few businesses opened up over the weekend, and I think it was nice to see a little bit of life in the town, some hope. But with that, we also released a video, a Rise Again video. I think most of you have seen it. The overwhelming response has been so positive and so encouraging from people all over the world. We've had people from the Netherlands, from France, from Germany, all across the United States, all through the travel industry as well. praising that the way the video was done, and just the positive message that hey, we're going to come back through all this. So just wanted to share that. There was a lot of great comments. And then with that, I don't know if Elaine was from the D&T was on the call. He said earlier, Mr. Chairman, that she was there, but maybe we did have a commission meeting last week and made the decision to hold off on the 2020 season for the summer. We're still hopeful for Polar Express and some special trains, but maybe if Elaine's on there, she can talk more about that. But anyway, that's all that I have for an update.
Thank you, Denny. All right, over with our projects of all things that are water. Mike Nevin? Need to turn your mic on, Mike. Unmute your microphone.
Oh, now.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, good morning, Commissioners, Chairman McBride. Yeah, a little update. I don't know whether County Manager Osborne had shared my written report to you at your first meeting in April or not. I had forwarded that to him and then subsequently to Chairman McBride. So hopefully you guys have that information. But anyway, just a little update on both projects. USDA is still working with SHPO to satisfy their concerns from a written response that dates back to the end of March. We had advised them that we had no adverse concerns for the project, but they in turn suggested that they did not see concurrence from either the National Park Service and or the Native American Indian tribes. Both of these requirements actually were new to us, as well as Cheryl Couch from USDA. We did not have to search out and get approval from either one of these entities when we did the BC Sewer Project and or the water line from the 5 Mile Reservoir. At any rate, the tribes have all been contacted. To date, we have seen no written reply and or any concerns, so that's a good sign. Yesterday morning, Cheryl Couch participated in a conference call with their National Historic Preservation Officer on the USDA side, a conference call with the National Park Service in Washington, D.C. The National Park Service had a couple of questions relative to staging areas for the project. Once it gets going, Cheryl reached out and I provided her with the information that she needed to satisfy their concerns. She was hoping to follow up with them today sometime, and hopefully we get SHPO's concerns resolved sometime this week. One of the big things that they were concerned about, and I think it's misinformation on their part, and Bert Bedell tried to address that with their folks, was they were under the impression that these existing tanks that are going to be replaced were tied into the wooden flumes. Of course, wooden flumes are non-existent and were removed back in the early 1950s. So no concern there, at least on our part. So we'll see what they have to say. It's just another stumbling block that, you know, has to be addressed and we've got to get through. Another thing that we're working on, I received the information actually last evening from Keith Loomis, our deputy DA. When the water line from the tanks was originally put in way back many, many years ago, everything back in those days was pretty much done on a handshake. Since then, where the water line crosses a couple of private parcels from the tanks down to the Gold Hill Road there, Main Street, at the intersection of Ophir Gray, there is one property owner that we will obtain an easement from, and that is our former commissioner, Bum Hess. I met with Bum, and we went over on site where the water line runs down through a portion of his parcel up on the divide there. He's in total agreement to the easement. And like I say, he has completed the language far west, the legal description and the needed map. So I hope to have Bum sign and notarize that this week so that we can place it on an upcoming county commission agenda, hopefully the next meeting, not tomorrow, but the middle of the month agenda. The other thing that we've done is the Bureau of Safe Drinking Water has approved the 90% plans and specifications for the project. This allowed us to move forward with completing the plans at 100%. So basically, we're ready to bid. USDA Nevada office is still awaiting the appointment of an engineer, so we've been dealing with a gentleman in Casper, Wyoming, by the name of Roy Pryor, and Roy had a couple of questions relative to how liquidated damages were assessed for noncompliance with contract days and determination of costs. And then a question on sole source products, if any, for the project. With the assistance of Keith, again, we were able to resolve this and send an email off to Mr. Pryor. And so we're just awaiting his formal approval. And it sounds like it's forthcoming, so a good sign there. I'll move on to the Gold Hill Wastewater Project. We did receive the drawings that were required from Fluence, who we have a procurement contract with for the plant equipment itself. So once those were received, it allowed Far West to begin the forward process of doing the structural and architectural plans. They're hoping to be 90% complete and ready for review here by month's end. The county has submitted all the required paperwork to NDEP for their review and approval of the discharge permit. We're awaiting response from them. Also, USDA, again, is working with SHPO on the National Park Service 106 requirements for the project. As I made mention back in April, SHPO has concerns of how this project may affect the cemeteries in Gold Hill. From the location where the plant will be constructed and from the cemeteries, you can't even see one or the other. It required us to do some photographs and mapping and forward them off to USDA for submittal to SHPO, so we're still waiting on that as well. But still my hope that both these projects will be completed by year's end, fingers crossed, knock on wood. It's been somewhat of a little bit of a challenge with this COVID situation, as I know you all are aware. So that's all I have, unless you have a question.
Thanks, Mike. Jay, do you have any questions for Mike?
I don't at this time, thank you.
Yeah. Lance, do you have any questions for Mike?
No, I'm fine. Thank you, Marshall.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, we'll move along now to Community Development Director, Fire Marshal Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and other commissioners. Just a couple things. I'm going to go over some numbers. regarding inspections and some of the projects. Construction documents that have been reviewed this month, this last month, April of 26. Plan reviews, of course, some of those plan reviews could be a couple pages, and some of them could be a couple hundred pages for review, sometimes even 1,000 pages. Permits issued were 35. Active nuisances at this time, we have 33 active nuisances. We haven't really been jumping too hard on the nuisances lately through the whole COVID issue that we have right now. Annual inspections since January, 77 have been completed. Again, I've had the inspectors back off on some of the annual inspections due to issues going on. And inspections completed this month, all inspections would be 56 at this point in time. We've had 402 inspections year to date since January. So we've been staying busy out there. Now, all those inspections does not include courtesy inspections that we do. Those are just the actual inspections that we've done. We have three projects right now that are getting close to completion sometime this year. So we will be definitely busy with pre-startup operations and doing the C of O's and things like that on the finals. And that's all I have. If anybody's got any questions.
Okay. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for Martin?
Not at this time.
Commissioner Gilman?
No questions either. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Martin. We'll go ahead and move on to the Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mr. Chairman. I have several items I'd just like to run past you so that you have some better understanding and awareness of things. As of this point in time, we have the state of Nevada as a whole has performed 57,000 plus tests for COVID-19. Of that, 40,675 were negative. 5,491 were positive. So it's a pretty low amount of the positives in relationship to those tested. As for the Quad County itself, the Quad County has currently a total of 104 cases that have been reported amongst the three counties, actually, since Story still is at zero. So there's 104 cases between Carson City, Douglas, and Lyon County. Of those, only 45 of them remain active at this point in time. 58 of those have recovered from this. There's still only a standing of one death from those bunch of cases of total for the Quad County. It's still trickling in a little bit of one or two a day, maybe, that we've been getting over the last week or so, but not as many as we did receive there for a while. So it seems to be slowing a little bit, I think we're starting to look a little bit better. Hospital beds in the Quad County area, which basically involves Douglas County, Lyon, and Carson. They have hospitals there, of course, is remaining at about 40 to 50% occupancy rate for their severe and ICU type of beds that would be utilized for COVID patients. So when you have only a 40 to 50% occupancy rate of the hospital, that's excellent. Looking really good there. This week began the community testing for the Quad County area, the four counties. And they have a total that they need to be tested within the four counties of about 1,800 people. What that is 1% of the population of each of the counties. That's the government, or the federal standard that is being requested that we test for. So we will be testing in Story County on Thursday, the Mark Twain area random personnel who made appointments to be tested will be tested either wherever they were directed to go by their own request, either to the Dayton High School or up here to Virginia City, which would be Friday, actually. On Friday, the Virginia City Highlands and Gold Hill people will be tested at the Senior Center here in town from 9 to 11 a.m. The Lockwood people will be Friday afternoon at the Senior Center on Perry Ranch Road there from 1 to 3 p.m. And all of this is being coordinated and accomplished by the Quad County and the Carson City Health and Human Services with assistance from medical personnel from the National Guard and so forth. So they will be participating. There's probably about 15 to 20 people that will come to the area, the locations to assist in that. Laura and I will be working with them on Friday all day to accomplish these community testings, both here in Virginia City and in Lockwood area. We continue our daily briefings with the Quad County and the Quad County EOC in Carson City, so we're keeping up very close contact with them as we must. The four county managers for the four counties are the ones that basically oversee the operations of the Quad County Emergency Operations Center, So at this point in time, you know, we had some concerns early on about getting enough personal protective equipment for our response personnel, the fire department, the EMS personnel, and even the sheriff's department. And at this point, we have acquired a fair amount of personal protective equipment to maintain the needs that we have for at least 30 days, which is the requirement. And I think we probably have more to be able to do closer to maybe 60 days. The four Quad County emergency managers are looking possibly to do is to have each county put some dollars into a fund, maybe upwards to $5,000 into a fund, which would give us a purchasing capability of $20,000 for the four. And then we would look at purchasing PPE that we would put into a cache that the four counties would have to be able to tap into as things go forward into the fall and the winter and potentially this somewhat happening again. This would help us to keep from being in a position to have to play catch up with getting the state to bring more in or to be able to be stuck without vendors to be able to provide us with that material. The other item is with the warehouse that the state requested that we arrange for them with the Tesla company, that warehouse is still functioning out there on Milan Drive. And expect to be operational for about another month, bringing supplies in and so forth. So we'll see how that goes along. He said it's been running smooth. Tesla has been extremely helpful with putting the thing together and assisting those people out there. They even keep these National Guard people that are working at the warehouse, they even keep them supplied with snacks, I'm told. So that's always helpful for those guys. County Manager Austin Osborne, I think, and his team have been working, you know, heavily on the county plan to be able to reopen the community, the county. And I'm sure he'll report on that, so I won't go into any details relating to that. So in closing this briefing, I would say stay home, stay safe, wear masks where they're needed and appropriate. wash your hands every for about 20 seconds when you do, and wash them often. Use hand sanitizer, use surface sanitizer, and remember social distancing. And that's all I have for you, unless there's some questions.
Yeah, Joe, I've got a question for you that with this testing that's going to be performed, we know that sometimes people don't show up for their appointments. So is there something in place, is there a plan in place that we want to make sure that we get 1% of the population tested, that if some people don't show up, is there an alternative to bring in other residents for testing?
That's an excellent question. And I'm not sure that I really know the answer to it, but I think it would be fairly easy to acquire a couple of people to be able to do that. That has not been brought up, to my knowledge. Do you need any advice?
Coming to the county commissioner meeting on Zoom.
Hello? Somebody's got their mic open. I guess that's an excellent question, and I will ask that. I'm meeting with them tomorrow, and we're looking at the site at the senior center here and in Lockwood, and I will bring that up. But I would think that if they do have an opening, I think it'd be pretty easy. I could certainly scrounge somebody up from someplace.
And the second question I've got for you, Joe, is that do we know where the availability is for residents that can that can acquire any hand sanitizers and products like that, because the stores that I've been in have been wiped out for a couple of months.
Marshall, I'm having a difficult time understanding you because someone has a mic open. I think it's Nicole, if I'm not mistaken. It sounds kind of like her voice.
All right. Well, let me make an announcement here that everyone who is on this call.
Not me, Marshall.
Okay.
I have the microphone off.
All right.
It says Nicole Bard on the picture.
I think it's only because she just spoke. In any event, would everybody please check your microphones on your devices and mute them, because there is a crossover and it makes everything break up. So my question, Joe, once again was, we know that we have enough sanitizers and that for county use and that, but regular residents and merchants, they're unable to go ahead and find any products on the shelves. So do we have any locations that we know of where our residents or businesses can acquire hand sanitizer and disinfectants?
I can put together pretty easily a list of vendors that I know have that. A lot of that stuff is really starting to come back on the shelves. We're starting to see that in the Walmarts and so forth. I know a lot of people, if you can locate it, you can use a two-part aloe vera and a one-part 99% rubbing alcohol, basically, and shake it up, and that's the perfect application for that. I can get a vendor list possible resources that they can call that we can put up on the webpage.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
I do not, Chairman. Thank you.
Great. Commissioner Gilman?
Joe, I'm just curious. Do you have adequate sign-up out of our various neighborhoods for the testing for variety?
Yes, we are full with all of our appointments. There are no vacancies or no openings at this point in time, and from all four districts.
You know, one thought I also might have, we could explore outside the meeting, but we might be able to supply hand sanitizers and some of those products in our food programs at the senior center. We're doing those every Friday. We have an abundant supply of food now that is going out to everyone that's hungry. I think we might be able to supply some of those products that they need.
Well, that's a super idea, Mr. Gilman, and that has actually been thought of in the past. But knowing that the biggest problem we would, and not, it's not really a problem, it's just be a process, it would be acquiring the material, getting it transferred into the smaller container, and because you would buy it in a bulk safe situation. and then getting them handed out to be able to do that. That's certainly something that we can look at and see. I haven't, to be honest with you, heard much in the way of complaints lately here about hand sanitizer and that sort of thing from the area here. That doesn't mean that doesn't exist. I'm just saying that I haven't been hearing it like I had early on.
I haven't either through the food program. I will take some time. We'll look into that and see if we can find a supplier. And other than hand sanitizer, were there other something else that would be at the top of the list you can think of?
Well, the surface sanitizer was a problem as well. We did acquire quite a bit of that from a supplier in Sparks. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's a kind that it's a liquid, and you have to have a dispenser that when you press the dispenser down, it makes foam into your hands, and that's what we've been using in the county offices and so forth.
Well, we'll undertake a search on that. I'll report back to you. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll do some looking around, too, as well. Thank you, Mr. Gilbert.
Thank you, Joe. All right, we'll move over to the Planning Department. Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. Nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. In the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Fire Chief Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
All right. Just a couple things to report. I'm pleased to announce that we will be conducting IMG interviews this Thursday. Out of 7 applicants, we have to be qualified. So hopefully we'll be able to fill that position by the end of the month, get somebody in place there. We've also been supporting the Quad County EOC with one of our firefighters who is in the position of operations chief there. He's been there going into his third week. And they've asked him to continue until the end of May to assist with the community testing. So that was a direct request from them to keep him in place. He's doing an excellent job, and that's Chris Barton. And then finally, we're looking at all the information that's coming out about the upcoming fire season, how the COVID-19 is going to affect responses, large fire camps, things like that. So information is coming out almost daily, and we're in the process of reviewing that and coming up with our own response guidelines for that as well. That's all I have if you have any questions.
Very good. I don't have any. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for the Chief?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
No questions. Thank you, Mark.
Very good. Thanks, Chief. Moving along to Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Good morning. I don't have anything to report today. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. D.A. Langer, are you on the line? County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thing, Danny Dodson and I went down on C Street on Saturday just to talk with folks and provide them some literature on how to, you know, go along with the governor's orders for COVID-19 and being able to operate safely. As we're aware, the governor provided Director 016 that continued the essential business order but then expanded slightly other certain retail businesses to be able to do curbside and other types of operation. So we've been down there as well as with the help of Sheriff Antonoro, trying to really be supportive for business, but at the same time really encouraging them to be smart, you know, use good practices, socially distance, and all those things. And, you know, really, so the governor sees, you know, we're doing a good job here, and hopefully be able to loosen those restrictions slightly in the future, in the next steps. Going through there, pretty much re-emphasize that our goal in this case is not economic recovery at this early stage. It is minimally being open, at least being allowed to open your doors and maybe offset some of your costs. But we're not promoting business up here. We're not bringing folks to the town, but trying to help these businesses on C Street, you know, maybe survive this until we're ready for the future steps. So far, folks on C Street have done a great job. A couple little adjustments here and there, but they're really cooperative and easy to work with. Anything else I have to talk about really is for our agenda meeting tomorrow, so I'll defer to that. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Austin. County Clerk, Ms. Stevens.
Good morning, Vanessa Stevens for the record. Just a quick update on the election. We did mail out over 3,400 mail ballots last week, and they've already started coming back in. If anybody has any questions about their ballot or the process, please contact the clerk's office. And that's it.
Thank you, Vanessa. Now, I've gone off a laundry list of elected officials and department heads and staff. If I've missed anybody out, go ahead and chime in right now before we move on. All right, I guess we've covered all the bases there. We'll move on to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
Well, thank you, Marshall, very much. I'd like to think I'm speaking for a lot of folks. I have so many comments come back my way. But by way of a thank you, Joe Curtis, what an incredible job he and his emergency management crew have done. They've been on board, on point, day one, every day. Austin Osborne, my goodness, they have been busy with all of the reporting coming in from Washington and from the state. Almost daily sign-ins and informational sources. So I just, a personal thank you. You know, I'd like to name every single person in that county. Story County has done a magnificent job of responding to this pandemic. We don't have a single case, and we've been very, very prepared. But it's a credit to the folks that are sitting in those chairs and the effort that they're giving. So from my chair, a personal thank you for the effort and the success that we're having.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona.
Today, nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And the only thing I have to follow up on is that I've walked the main boardwalk in Virginia City from one end to the other, talking to as many merchants as I can. The impressive thing is that everyone I've talked to is that no one is ill. No one has a cold. No one has a seasonal flu. So whatever we're doing it right. I attribute a lot to the hand washing. I've never washed my hands so many times, and I've never seen so many chapped hands out there, although we're not shaking hands right now. We're keeping our social distancing. But, you know, we just have to give kudos out to our residents and our businesses. Everybody's trying to keep everyone healthy, and they're just doing a great job. And I can't say any more than Lance already did with the team we have in Story. Everybody's doing a fabulous job. Everybody's just putting an immense amount of time and effort into making sure that we're doing everything right and we're playing by the rules. And so with any luck, we'll get through this pandemic, although we haven't really suffered it here in Story County except economically, which is the worst part of it, I think, maybe, except we haven't lost any loved ones. But we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and doing it right, and hope that the governor will loosen up the restrictions a little bit more as we go forward and get more of our businesses open, because we know it's a real difficult thing for a merchant who's either has a mortgage or a rent payment and utilities and insurance, all of these things that are there, the taxes that they have to pay to the county, you know, plus trying to put food on the table for their families. It's a real difficult time for our residents, and so we can hang in there a little bit longer. I think we'll get through this okay. That's all I have, and we'll go ahead and we'll move on now. We're going to be bringing the Jennifer in on this. We're going to move to item number 11. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is the third quarter of the 2019-2020 budget review for Story County General Fund and Special Revenue Funds. Jennifer?
Good morning. We'll go over the Story County General and other funds first. Good news is our general fund revenues are actually, as of March 31st, 96% of our total budget. So that's great news with the current situation and not much money coming in at this time for the fourth quarter. Our other funds that are above 75%, which the third quarter ends March at 75% concluded, We have the roads department and equipment acquisition, genetic marker testing, indigent, and the VCTC. So all those funds are ahead of where they should be. We have a few funds that are below the 75% and don't think that they will hit the mark of reaching the budgeted goal by the end of the year. That includes the Justice Court Fund and Park Tax and Pipers. Those, with things being shut down, it's really hard to imagine that any of those will be collecting enough necessary to reach their budget. As far as expenses go, most of the general fund departments are at or below their 75% use mark. Overall, the general fund is at 62% of the budgeted expenses. We do have a few departments that are over, and we are working at figuring out what the issues are. One of those is buildings and grounds, where we have identified that telephone expenses for the new TriStar Star phones is not being appropriately distributed between fire, public works, and community development. So we are working on fixing that, and it will be rectified by the end of the year. The sheriff's department, his automobile should have been purchased out of equipment acquisition, and they were not, so we'll have to do a journal entry to move that. Unfortunately, his coroner and lab fees were a little extra high this year, and at the beginning of a budget season, those kind of things are usually just a guess. We have no way of knowing what kind of events are going to transpire, and unfortunately, Story County has seen a few very unfortunate events that brought his coroner and lab fees up over the budget, and so we do anticipate having to augment that at the end of the year. Community relations. The senior center appropriations were not budgeted appropriately, and so we are going to have to augment that situation, and I'm still diving into where those numbers got confused. And I have to admit that our comptroller's office is over in furniture and fixtures, although we knew that this was going to happen at the beginning of the year. We had budgeted to move into the cottage last year and did not budget for that move in the current year budget, so we knew we were going to have to augment those expenses. Moving on to the special funds, Rhodes is actually doing really good. They are only at 56% of their budget, and we have one hiccup there. The retiree insurance is now being charged to each individual fund, and that was not budgeted for. So we'll be looking at augmenting that at the end of the year. The Justice Court Fund actually has a reoccurring court management budget that also was not budgeted for the current year, and we will have to augment that. And that's as much as I have for the third quarter review, if anyone has any questions.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Nope, just want to thank the Comptroller's Office for all their work, and the department heads for getting this stuff in order. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, I want to thank Jennifer highly. We are line item budgeting, and she obviously has a focus on every single line item and where we're going. Yeah, we're going to have to do some augmentation, and that's unfortunate, but I'm absolutely confident that she has recognized what we need to do, and we're making some things fell through the cracks. So I'm excited about next year. Obviously, we're going to have some challenges because of this meltdown for the last quarter. But I'm glad that Jennifer's in the chair, and I believe she's doing a wonderful job for us. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Do any of the department heads have any questions for Jennifer regarding their budget?
Mr. Chairman, I have one comment.
Go right ahead, Austin.
Thank you. I just want to reinforce what Jennifer said. She's done a great job putting this budget together.
There were a couple unknowns at the beginning of this year. One was the comptroller's office moving to the cottage. I do support Jennifer's statement that there were some costs associated with that that we knew were going to be unaccounted for at that time, but overall would be within the confines of the budget. And the other one is Stacey York has done a fine job at the Senior Center running her programs. There's been expanded programs this year, really as the request of the board, and some other adjustments as Stacey's kind of in a new position over there and some expansions down at Lockwood. So I know Jennifer's working on moving to how many where it needs to be, and then for the next fiscal year, those things will be tightened down as far as where they're structured. But I support what Jennifer said in both of those. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Any other department heads? No? Okay. How about we go ahead and then we'll move on to item number 12. This is also discussion only. We'll take no action. This is discussion regarding the Story County 2020-2021 final budget and possible decreases in revenue and expenses in connection with the current COVID-19 event. So, Jennifer?
Thank you. I know that I had submitted some figures for a 5% reduction in revenue and an approximate 2-3% reduction in expenses. After meeting with the budget team, we kind of have come to the conclusion that Story County is in a very good position to make it through this with little bumps. After reviewing everybody's reductions and the revenue streams, we've come to the conclusion that if we would rather not adjust the budget due to the fact that no one really knows how this event is going to carry out, and if we restrict our budget too much, it's going to be a little more complicated to get back to business as usual. We plan to monitor the expenses and revenues more closely, and by doing that, we have agreed that any departments that have expenditures that are going to be over $1,000 will need to get approval prior to purchasing those items so that we can keep that in line with the items that they suggested they could cut and with non-essential purchases. With that being said, we welcome your opinions and your questions and discussions on where you would like to see the final budget proceed. The next meeting on May 19th is when you would need to give final approval for the budget to be submitted to taxation by June 1st, which is why I think these discussions right now are going to be very important.
Very good. All right, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this?
No questions. I like Jennifer's plan. I'd like to get another week or two under our belt before our next meeting, as she suggested. I am hopeful that this recovery is going to come rather quickly. The signals today and the recent signs are that we're moving faster. California is already going to phase two already. And of course, they've had a much more significant problem than any of our rural counties. So I think a week or 10 days is prudent to wait, and then we'll take a final look here on our next meeting. But I totally agree on that. Thank you,
Doug. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing at this time.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, following up on which Commissioner Gilman said, the county, we're pretty healthy as we stand right now, and we don't depend as much on sales tax as a lot of other counties do, such as Washoe and Clark. But property tax, the ad valorem, is what we depend mostly on, and that's not going to change. So, except we might get late payments coming in. But we have a pretty healthy ending fund balance, so I think that we're in pretty good shape. But we're going to be vigilant and diligent in our decisions going forward with our budgeting. And as Austin had pointed out, I think at our last meeting, that just because it's in the budget doesn't mean we're going to spend the money, on equipment or any acquisitions, anything like that. We're going to keep our powder dry, as they say, and be prepared for what could happen in the future. So. Are there any department heads that have to have anything to comment on this item before we move on? Okay, at this time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. Bring us to item 14, which is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is the third quarter 2019-2020 budget review for the Fire Protection District funds. Ms. McCain.
Thank you again. The fire department in as a whole is looking really good. They are at 88% of their budgeted revenue, which they really need. And their fiscal activity currently, they budgeted to be at $6.1 million for expenses, and as of March 31st, they are at $5.3 million. So Jeff Nevin is doing a really good job at making sure that he's only purchasing things that are necessary. One thing that I would like to point out is that the mutual funds, revenues, and expenses are both low. This is due to a low fire season after talking with Jeff and Tiffany that, I mean, there's good and bad sides to that. Having a low fire season is good for everyone. Unfortunately, it doesn't keep the firefighters working, but that's a good side. Their capital outlay fund is over and will need to be augmented due to Station 72 needing a sensor. Jeff can probably talk more to that. That's a little out of my wheelhouse.
Okay, Jeff, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, we had to replace the heating and cooling system in the living quarters out there, Mr. Chairman. It was an unforeseen expense, and we took that money out of our capital improvement project fund. I believe that was the fall.
Jeff, you're muted.
Sorry, pushed the wrong button again. I'm not sure what you caught, but that was a replacement of the heating and cooling system in the living quarters at the Fire Station 72 in the Highlands. That was an unforeseen expense. We had some rodent damage and the piping underneath the house, the venting was beyond repair. So we chose to take that out of underneath of that house and replace it with some wall-mounted, more efficient heating and cooling systems. So.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for the explanation. So, does that conclude your report on this, Jennifer?
That's it for the fire third quarter. Yes.
Okay, I'll go ahead and ask some fellow commissioners. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions on the fire district for Jennifer?
I do not. Thank you, Jeff.
Very good, Commissioner Carmona.
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. All right. So, with that, we'll move on to item number 15. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is discussion regarding the Fire Protection District 2020-2021 final budget and possible decreases in revenue and expenses in connection with the current COVID-19 event. Ms. McCain.
Thank you again. Without having to repeat everything I've said for Story County, we also would like to keep this budget where it is for the tentative, working very closely with the fire department and Jeff's team to get this budget a little more organized. As I mentioned, during the tentative review, we have a few things that need to still be cleared up. Noticing that in the tentative budget, we missed budgeting for ambulance billings, accident recovery, and special events, so that will increase its revenues a little bit. We still have a few unknowns, and what the final impact will be for the union negotiations in 2021, but we unfortunately don't anticipate this being resolved before the budget is finalized. So, I welcome your discussion and your thoughts. And Jeff, if you want to chime in here on how moving forward.
Well, Mr. Jim.
Okay, for those of you in the audience, someone still has an open mic, so if you'll check your devices and make sure you mute them. We'd appreciate it. Jeff, did you want to follow up on what Jennifer just said?
Yes, sure, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the record, Jeff Nevin. We were able to go through and cut some of the things that we didn't think were necessary for this next year. A lot of that was in the travel budget. I guess the best word for them is some tripods for some rescue equipment that we felt would be nice to have, but wasn't a necessity to have at this certain point in time. So we were able to take a lot of that stuff out and get that reduction down. Hopefully we can get that stuff back in, or, you know, just see how this goes and move from there.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer regarding this?
Just a quick comment. I think this is really underlining the advantage of when I did a budget. Jeff did exactly what you need to do. You go into your budget items and do it the way you need, what you don't really need. And so you reapply and you revisit. And you're fiscally responsible across the board in the county. And I think we're doing a wonderful job on that. So, again, Jeff, thank you. Jennifer, as well. I really appreciate when you guys are
handling
our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing.
Thank you, Jay. All right. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Fire Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us on to item 17. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is the third quarter of 2019-2020 budget review for the water and sewer funds. Ms. McCain.
Thank you, Ben. The third quarter review for the water and sewer, both water and sewer are looking very healthy with their revenues. The sewer is actually at 102% of their budget. So they are way ahead of the game, and we're looking at that to really identify what's happening to get better numbers for the 2021 budget. The water department is pretty close to on the mark at 77% of the revenue. As far as expenses go, both water and sewer are looking really good at only having spent 56 to 57% of their budgeted expenses. Jason and his team are doing really good at keeping the daily operations going and paying attention to what they really need to purchase and not. We have found a few employee distribution errors as far as the paychecks are going between the water and sewer, which is throwing the wage and benefit numbers a little askew. Water is actually at 90% as far as wages and benefits, where sewer is at 67%. So we will be doing a journal entry to correct those misappropriations in that direction. And that's all I have for the third quarter review.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. It's quite all right. Commissioner Carmona?
No, I do not. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I should have probably gone to Public Works Director Jason Wierzbeski first to see if you had any comments on this budget.
I have no comments at this time.
Okay.
There
you go. Thank you, Jason. All right, with that, let's move on to item number 18. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is discussion regarding the Water and Sewer Fund budget for possible decreases in revenue and expenses in connection with the current COVID-19 event. Ms. McCain.
I think this is my last one. Again, we have recommended as a budget committee that we keep the budget revenue and its expenses where they are, keeping a close watch on how things are moving. As you noticed, when I did the third quarter review, Jason's very good at monitoring his budget.
That's really all I have for that.
Okay.
Same thing a few times.
This might be the easiest budget item because the water and sewer is going to continue to go on no matter what the economy does. So we're still going to have revenue and expenses in that category. So I'll ask my fellow commissioners if they have any questions or comments. Commissioner Gilman?
Oh, same comment. I think that what we're seeing here is our departments, like Jason, for example, Story County is watching what they're doing. They're watching their expenses and they're considering. It's not frivolous on what's going on in our county. And it's such a credit to all of the folks that are taking care of stuff here. Again, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing.
Great. Thank you. All right. With that, we'll go ahead and we'll recess as the Story County Water Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, which brings us up to item number 20. This is discussion for possible action. This is the authorization to for the Story County Manager to sign cost-share agreement between Carson City, Douglas, Lyon, and Story Counties under multi-agency coordinating MAC group, setting forth how costs will be reimbursed and shared between the agencies and materials, supplies, food, and other items, including for public health emergency preparedness and Federal Emergency Management Agency related to the COVID-19 emergency declaration. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. And I'm going to look to Laura Mather and to Joe Curtis, too, if they would like to speak on this. I think the agenda language pretty much speaks for itself. Story County participates in the Quad County effort, which is Carson City, Lyon, Douglas, Story County. Everything we're doing on the COVID-19 matter is through this Quad County group. And in this case, it's a cost share agreement for coordinated efforts of reimbursement for FEMA money and for public health preparedness money. And our portion will be about 2.54%.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty small percentage there because it's all based on population. So go ahead, Laura.
Go ahead, Laura.
Okay, Joe, you got your mic muted?
I'll let Joe speak about the cost agreement between the Quad Counties, but I did want to let everybody know that we are keeping track of every single expense regarding this incident. I am on the FEMA public assistance portal on a regular basis, updating all of our information. As we're speaking, as I'm listening to the meeting, I'm entering all of the information that's coming in from the departments on what's been purchased into the FEMA spreadsheet, which will be uploaded. So just to let everybody know that we are, again, keeping track of every single step that's being paid, and we're keeping ahead of all of the requirements that will be needed by FEMA once it is opened up and we can start requesting reimbursement.
And Laura, that includes so we're keeping track of all of our time that all of us are spending on this matter and everything we're doing there.
Correct. And that's very important because we can use that as our 25% match for that.
Okay. So did Joe, did you want to weigh in on this, Joe Curtis?
Maybe just a little further explanation on the cost-sharing agreement. This is a pretty standard situation, we have actually participated in these kind of things in the past. And where you see cost-sharing agreements occur mostly, most often actually, is particularly in dealing with wildland fires in the area where either equipment has come in to assist us or we have sent equipment out to some other local immediate Northern Nevada area where we all have involvement and costs involved in dealing with suppression of a fire. So we get together as groups and we get, well, who has this percentage of responsibility, who has this percentage of responsibility, and who has this one, depending upon how many people there are. In this particular case, we're dealing with just the four counties. And so they look at amount of effort and involvement with the situation. So when they open up the Emergency Operations Center in Carson City, the Combined Operations Center, and then we say, well, what amount of participation do we have that contributed to this? What kind of cost, for example, at the EOC, people there, they're paying for their food, for their lunches, as a rule. There's other costs that are involved with that. Maybe some of the costs have to do with bringing in certain kinds of materials, having to purchase certain equipment to make sure that the EOC is up and running properly and so forth. Because when we bring stuff together, people have resources to invest in it, but to bring to it, but there's always something extra that has to come in. So in this particular case, it's been determined that, and this is a very rough figure, that of Carson, Douglas, and Lyon, each of those have about somewhere between about 28 or 29 to about 33% of responsibility that they will have, because they're the ones that are putting most of the material into it and have the most need for what is going on. So I think they average right at about 30% each, or a little bit more. And Story County is, at this point in time, is listed as only 2% of that cost sharing obligation. Excuse me. So from a Story County standpoint, we're in pretty good shape with this cost-sharing agreement. And as I say, it's a routine signing thing, and I've been involved in those things in the past with wildland fires and so forth, much like we did when we did the Declaration of Authority. We document out and we let the Emergency Operations Center have the authority to suppress the event that is occurring at the time. In this case, it was COVID-19. In the past, it's been fired. So are there any other, hopefully that explains what that cost-sharing agreement is really about, if there's any questions.
Very good. Thanks, Joe. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe or Laura?
I do not. I think it's a great program.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing at this time, Chairman.
Very good. Thank you. How about if we open up for public comment? We're open for public comment. If someone would like to speak, go ahead and unmute your microphone. Hearing no public comment, if I could, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve this.
One sec, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to authorize the county manager to sign cost-share agreement between Carson City, Douglas, Lyon, and Story Counties under a multi-agency coordinating group setting forth how costs will be reimbursed and shared between the agencies for materials, supplies, food, and other items, including public health emergency preparedness and federal emergency management agency related to the COVID-19 emergency declaration.
Very good. Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving along now to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. This is a 90-day extension allowance for payment of business license renewals without penalty from 07-01 of 2020, July the 1st of 2020, in order to provide relief to businesses in Story County affected by the COVID-19 related impacts. Mr. Osborne?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pretty much as the agenda language says, with the COVID-19 matter and a good portion of our businesses unable to operate, the county has in the past taken other measures to within its jurisdictional abilities to help us. This is an example of that. It would apply to all businesses across the county, giving them a 90-day extension to pay for it and to apply for their business licenses for 2021 fiscal year. This will be effective on July 1st. It would be voluntary, so if some companies want to pay up front or on time, they're allowed to do so. Those that are not and want to use the 90-day extension would be operating under a temporary business license during that interim period, which is a standard policy we have in our codes. Until that time, that's essentially what this does, is it just defers costs to these businesses that might be just enough to give them at least a little bit out.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman?
Well, I'll say that I'm proud of the county to take this action into consideration. I can tell you that businesses, certainly the employees have been helped with the PPP. There have not been available loans for the most part to help the businesses survive. And of course, their survival is critical to bringing our economy back into focus. So recognizing the fact that all of their expenses continue, and that that's a struggle, I'm real proud of the county for taking this into consideration. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
I do agree. I'm glad that there's something we can offer across the board. It may not be a lot, but at least it's something that the businesses that need the help can avail of. So glad to see this on there.
Right. You know, some businesses only have one business license, and they might be just a, you know, very small amount to pay, but it might help them out. Plus, some of our businesses have multiple licenses, and it, especially our large corporations, it's going to be very significant on licensing for those people. So this is good. Some people won't need it, but several people might. So I think it's a good tool to go ahead and help our businesses in the county. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up to public comment. If someone would like to make a public comment, unmute your microphone and go ahead and identify yourself for the record, and go ahead and speak to us.
This is Nicole Bard, a Surrey County resident. Marshall, I have one question. I think this is great because it does directly, immediately help businesses. But the tangential question is, does the county plan on doing something for individual taxpayers in terms of property taxes? Is that a later agenda item of conversation?
Well, you know, Nicole, that's a very good question. And the thing is that when it comes to property taxes, property taxes are set by state statute. So there's going to have to be a lot of legal work that's going to have to go in to investigate if we can at all do anything when it comes to property taxes. Just have to remember, we've spoke about this before, that it's pretty easy to lower a property tax rate, but almost impossible to raise it. Now, that's a story that's been told to us before. We don't really know yet how accurate that is. But the thing is that when we're going over today the final budget, it's going to cost X amount of dollars to run the government of Story County. And when you look at the percentage of what goes in the budget, look at what it costs simply for public safety. When you look at the operations of the fire department, the sheriff's office, the communication center, which is the dispatch for all of the agencies, and the jail, it encompasses an awful lot of the county revenue to go ahead and operate those funds. So to simply say that we're on hard times and we're going to cut everybody's property taxes, I think we have to look at it extremely carefully, but I don't know if there's a path for that or not, but we're going to look into it.
I wasn't talking cut it. You're giving a 90-day extension for business licenses, and my question is it possible to do a 90-day extension on property taxes because
okay. Well, there is a grace period on your, there's a 10-day grace period on your property taxes per each quarter, right, before you incur interest and penalties. So I can ask the county clerk, she is probably an expert in this field where I'm not, and so I'll ask her to go ahead and participate in this conversation.
Okay, so again, just asking, right. What can be done for the folks in our county that are unemployed and they're not getting unemployment checks from what I hear from people I know. And so anything, and I know it'll also apply to the businesses because you can't separate that out, but don't forget the residents. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, let's see what Clerk Stevens has to say.
Good morning, Nicole. It's Vanessa. That is a conversation that's being had by the treasurer statewide. The due dates for taxes are set by statute, so it doesn't give us a whole lot of leeway. But we are working as a group with the state treasurer to see if we can make some extensions and possibly postpone adding penalties to a tax.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And to follow up on Ms. Bard's comments there, a lot of people are not receiving unemployment checks. I know someone who's waited up to 8 weeks so far. Without an unemployment check, I know that a lot of people aren't getting the Paycheck Protection Program funded, the disaster program funding. There's a multitude through the SBA out there, the Small Business Administration, for funding that's been provided through the United States Treasury. It's just that some people don't qualify, some people's banks aren't working with them. I haven't seen a lot of people out there I've spoken to in the business world that are saying that they're overwhelmed by the participation they've had with their banks or others and able to bring funding to help them with their businesses. This is a very difficult time for everybody to go ahead and find adequate funding. So we're going to look into this and we'll do what we can at the county level, but. You know, that's about as far as we can go with that right now. I'll go ahead and open it up once again to public comment.
Chairman McBride, Sheriff Antonoro here. Just conversations I've had with a couple of business owners, well, they're appreciative that this is something that's being considered. Their concern is their extended closures and inability to generate any revenues, even though they still have to pay all of the rest of their bills, electric, water, things like that. There was a question as to whether there's any appetite to prorate it for the time that they are unable to generate any income. That was just posed to me over this past weekend, and I said that I would share that with the commission.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Mr. Osborne.
I'm not going to speak too much on this because the agenda item really is related to business license. I can tell you that we've been looking at all these options with the different folks on their department heads, whether it's water or taxes or business licenses or leases and other things, and the types of things that come into play, including that we're in the conversation for business licenses or the fund that is involved. And whether that fund has obligations to USDA or to paybacks or to revenues that are coming specifically from ratepayers, things like that. So those conversations have happened. Martin and Ashley and his group over at Community Development were in the conversation regarding business licenses, and we have looked at a number of different options to try to work with folks that help the businesses. Really kind of helped mostly the smaller businesses, especially those that were not able to operate during this, and then also that would still allow the county to provide the services required. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Is there any additional public comment out there in the audience?
Marshall, I have. This is Lance.
Go right ahead, Commissioner.
I'd like to follow up on a thought here. Our governor has made it very clear that once the unemployment is funded, it will be retroactive to the very first day. So I want to send out the signal, and we should all be telling everybody that we're in contact with, keep applying. You don't want to just let it sit
and think that it's going to come to you, you should reapply every single week. And I have been told absolutely that if we will, those that are following closely will be funded at one point. I can tell you that everyone in our delegation from Washington is very embarrassed. There's not a lot they can do, senators or congressmen. And I've had the opportunity to speak to all of them. But unfortunately, our state was caught flat-footed. It just simply didn't have the infrastructure. It was antiquated, and it didn't have a chance of keeping up with the demand that came at us overnight. But I do like the fact that our governor took the position that's retroactive, and I want to send the message far and wide, please keep applying. You will get those unemployment proceeds. And by the way, the independent contractor proceeds have still been funded at the federal level. And our delegation did a lot to help along with our gaming industries and some of those. That money has already been allocated to the state of Nevada. Unfortunately, none of the independent contractors or the gig workers have even been able to make a call and get an application to our unemployment office. So that will happen sometime mid to third quarter of this month of May. And so once again, keep applying. It will come, and it is retroactive. Very important.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any additional public comment? Okay, with that said, then Commissioner Carmona, if I could get a motion to approve this 90-day extension.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve a 90-day extension allowance for payments of all business license renewals without penalty from July 1st, 20, in order to provide relief to businesses in Story County affected by COVID-19. Any business may renew their business license and pay the associated fee on or before the extension period, and the payment will be effective and retroactive to July 1st, 2020. A temporary business license will be issued in the interim period in accordance with Title V of the Story County Code. This action only affects business license renewals.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now, item number 22. We're going to recess as the Story County Commissioners and reconvene as the Story County Liquor License Board, which brings us to item 23, which is discussion for possible action. This is the second reading for approval of the Cabernet license for the Roasting House at 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicants are Robert and Mandy Manros. Sheriff?
We've completed the background investigation on this. This is not for liquor. It is just cabaret entertainment. Nothing in the background investigation has been found that would preclude them from having such a license. Mandy has been involved in the operations of the Roasting House for quite some time already in partnership with the previous owner. She's now taking over completely with her husband. So as such, we would recommend approval.
Very good. Thank you, Sheriff. Is there any public comment regarding this license? Can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for approval of the cabaret license for the Roasting House, 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Robert and Mandy Manios.
I have a
second to motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, this will move us on to item number 24, discussion for possible action. This is a 90-day extension allowance for payment of all privileged business licenses, including liquor, cabaret, firearm, tobacco, and gaming business license renewals without penalty from July the 1st of 2020 in order to provide relief to the businesses in Story County affected by the COVID-19. related impacts. So this mirrors the last item that we had voted on. So Austin, do you want to follow up on any of this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It will sound a little repetitive, but since it is a different board on this or a different item, I'll just repeat a little bit of necessity. It's the same thing as the last one. It's a 90-day extension. This applies to those privileged licenses under the sheriff's jurisdiction, and I'd be happy if you'd like to speak to any of this related to COVID-19 and the impact that it's been caused to businesses. Once again, if a business decides to pay on time or early, they may. Otherwise, they can go ahead and go under the extension, and they would operate under a temporary privileged business license in the interim that they do. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin regarding this item?
I do not, Chairman.
No questions.
Okay. Is there a public comment regarding this? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve a 90-day extension allowance for payment of all privileged business licenses, including liquor, cabaret, firearms, tobacco, and gaming business license renewals without penalty from July 1st, 2020, in order to provide relief to businesses in Story County affected by COVID-19. Any business may renew their business license. Somebody chiming in?
Go right ahead, Commissioner.
Any business may renew their business license and pay the associated fee on or before the extension period, and the payment will be effective and retroactive to July 1st, 2020. A temporary business license will be issued in the interim period in accordance with Title V of the Story County Code. This action only affects business license renewals.
Very good.
Second to your motion.
All right, so moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 25. We're going to recess from the Story County Liquor License Board and convene as the Story County Brothel License Board. Commissioner Gilman, do you have a statement to make?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I will recuse on this item as I hold a pecuniary interest in one of the businesses that's under consideration. So I'll rejoin the commission after this item is completed.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. This is a discussion for possible action. It's a 90-day extension allowance for payment of all brothel license renewals without penalty from July the 1st, 2020 in order to provide relief to brothel businesses in Story County affected by the COVID-19 related impacts. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, this is an item under the Sheriff's Office jurisdiction. It is similar to the preceding, a 90-day extension of brothel business licenses related to impacts caused by COVID-19 and closures by the governor's office. It is voluntary. If the brothel owner decides that he'd like to pay on time, he may. If he does not, then he'll provide a 90-day extension, and a temporary license would be offered in the interim within the parameters allowed by the governor's office and other matters not related. The sheriff may or may not want to speak to this, and the recommendation is to approve this.
Okay. Sheriff Antonoro, do you wish to speak to this?
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay, I'll be open up for public comment. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if I can get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve a 90-day extension allowance for payment of all brothel license renewals without penalty from July 1st, 2020 in order to provide relief to brothel businesses in Story County affected by COVID-19. Any brothel business may renew their brothel business license and pay the associated fee on or before the extension period, and the payment will be effective and retroactive to July 1st, 2020, a temporary brothel business license will be issued in the interim period in accordance with Title V of the Story County Code. This action only affects brothel business license renewals.
Very good. Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Okay, item 27. At this time, we're going to recess as the Story County Brothel License Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. At this time, we'll welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board, bringing us up to item number 28. This is discussion for possible action. Approval of the second reading for general business license for the Roasting House at 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. The applicants are Robert and Mandy Manrose. So, Mr. Osborne? All right. Perhaps he stepped out. Anyway, this is the same.
Are you calling me, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. We're on item 28, the approval of the second reading for the general business license for the Roasting House.
No problem. We recommend approval of it. And I ask if the sheriff has anything he wants to mention in this regard to it.
I have nothing to add other than what was already said in regards to their cabaret license.
Yeah. So this is the trifecta for licensing for the Roasting House today. Is there any public comment regarding the Roasting House licensing? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
Yep. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading for general business license for the Roasting House, located at 55 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Robert and Mandy Manios.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? I'll second the motion.
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 29, discussion for possible action. Second reading of Bill 115, Ordinance 20-304. This is an amendment to the Story County Code, Title 17, Administrative Provisions. So, Ms. Canfield?
Yes, thank you. This is the second reading for this ordinance. The first reading was April 9th of 2020, so last month. These are just some modifications to our administrative provisions. And there's been no discussion or no changes since the first reading.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions, Marshall.
All right, very good. Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing, Chairman.
Very good. I'll open up for public comment. Does anyone in the audience have any public comment regarding this this bill and ordinance? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
In accordance with recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of Bill 115, Ordinance Number 20-304, Text Amendments to Story County Code, Title 17, Administrative Provisions, to clarify and modify language and align to NRS Notice and Requirements in Section 17.03.050, 17.03.060, 17.03.070, and finally 17.03.080.
I'll second your motion.
Give me one second, gentlemen.
I gave you a second. You there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
He needs a second, Lance. He needs a moment. Not a second.
Okay, I was just gonna ask for a legal opinion from Mr. Loomis. Is that the are you satisfied with what has been read in the summary without reading the title exactly?
I am. We're only required to read the title at the first reading.
Okay. Very good. With that said, I have got a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 30, discussion for possible action. Second reading of Bill 116, Ordinance 20-305, text amendments to Story County Code, Title 17 Zoning, adding, modifying, clarifying, elaborating upon, and consolidating land use and other terms and definitions in Chapter 17-10. Ms. Canfield.
Yes, thank you again. The first reading for this was also April 9th, 2020. This is an amendment to 1710, which is our definitions chapter. There hasn't been any changes or any additional discussion since the first reading of this.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Canfield. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona?
None.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of Bill 116, Ordinance Number 20-305, text amendments to Story County Code Title 17, zoning, adding, modifying, clarifying, elaborating upon, and consolidating land use and other terms and definitions in Chapter 17.10, definitions, and as those terms and definitions apply to and within all regulatory zones and all other provisions in the zoning ordinance. Terms include animal boarding and grooming, bookkeeping, crisis care facility, equestrian establishments, veterinary services, and wild animal keeping.
I'll second the motion, Jay.
Very good. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 31, discussion for possible action. Second reading of Bill 117, Ordinance 20-306, text amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Chapter 17-12. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you. This again is the second reading for this ordinance. The first one was April 9th, 2020. Since then, we have, staff have noticed a couple of spots that we do want to add some additional clarifying language. It doesn't change the meaning of what we have, but we think it might read a little bit better and make for less confusion. The first change would be on page 3 of 26 of the chapter, item D1. We want to eliminate at the end of that sentence, exceeding 2 vehicle visits per day, and add the language 3 or more vehicle visits on any given day. That makes that language consistent with the language in item number 2. They both mean the same thing, but the language wasn't necessarily consistent.
Okay.
The second change is at the bottom of page 6 of 26 of the chapter. On item B, area limitations for accessory buildings and shipping containers, we wanted to add the word in the sentence for all accessory buildings and add the word all shipping containers. Buildings and shipping containers are measured separately, and we just wanted to make that clear so that those two sentences necessarily contradict each other. And then the last suggested change is on page 24 of 26, there's a drawing at the top of the page, and there's a reference in that drawing to signs. We want to take out everything with regarding signs. The signs are all covered in the sign chapter, so we don't want any duplication or confusion if there's changes with that. So we want to take that blurb out that relates to signs in that drawing. Other than that, staff is recommending approval of the second reading, and I'm recommending if there's any questions with those changes.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or concerns for Kathy?
No questions, Mark.
Commissioner Carmona?
None today, Chairman.
All right, very good. We'll open it up for public comment. Anyone in the audience like to comment on this? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of Bill 117, Ordinance Number 20-306, Text Amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Chapter 17.12, General Provisions, Adding, Modifying, and Clarifying Provisions within the chapter, including home enterprises, height of buildings and structures, accessory buildings and shipping containers, accessory dwellings, Comstock Historic District standards, setback encroachments, perimeter fencing, public utility uses, minimum lot area, off-street parking, open storage, general provisions for all zones, including crisis care and wireless communication facilities, and property located within the FEMA floodplain.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Excuse me, if I can interrupt for a second, do we want to add with those changes that I had mentioned to the motion to include those, or did you not want to make those changes that I mentioned?
That's, Kathy, thank you. That's a good idea. Jay, would you like to go ahead and amend your motion to include the changes that Kathy brought forward?
Yes. Within the map FEMA floodplain, including the changes suggested by Kathy Canfield.
Does
that work?
Okay.
I believe so.
We get a new second on that?
Commissioner Gilman, can I get a new second on that?
There's a new second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number... You're welcome. Thank you, Kathy. Item number 32, discussion for possible action. This is approval of business license second readings. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our community development does recommend approval of AD&C, all three business licenses, Heritage Roofing, PC Connection Sales Corporation, and Western Concrete Cutters.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Is there any public comment regarding these licensings? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Move to approve the second reading of business licenses A, B, and C.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 33, public comment. We have people in the audience who would like to participate in public comment today.
Mr. Keith Lewis, the next item on here is going to be the adjournment. And what I'm recommending is because we continue to a number of the items that we recess rather than adjourn today.
We do have a regularly scheduled meeting for tomorrow, though.
We do, but these are continued items from this meeting.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you for the legal. Thank you for the legal advice.
Do you mind? Mr. Loomis, I just want to ask on that. So, the meeting that we have tomorrow is a. This is a regular commission meeting, and then tomorrow is a regular commission meeting. Would the treatment we just provided to the continued items today be any different than if we were to continue them to the June meeting, for example? Why would we treat this one any different? Is there something special about this one?
Thank you.
No problem.
Probably not, but I prefer to see us recess this one because we don't have those items listed on the agenda for the regular meeting tomorrow, where typically the continued items would be listed on the agenda that's more than 2 weeks out.
Okay, and it's safe then tomorrow the chairman and the board would they essentially be reconvening or would they be calling a new meeting?
As for the additional regular meeting, that's a new meeting. These would be continued items from today's meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Willis.
Sure. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Willis.
Are the comments still open?
Yes, it is.
Sam Toll here from Gold Hill. Thank you, Commissioner McBride. Just briefly, once again, I'd like to reiterate, even though it's a lot of fun to sit here at home and attend the meeting, public comment at the beginning and the end of each meeting is something that sends the right message to Story County residents, that they, in fact, come first instead of last. Would also like to remind the board that I still have over a dozen public records requests open. Seven are over a year old. And I know that they're not the highest priority with the COVID-19 epidemic that we're currently in the midst of. But access to our records is a fundamental freedom that we all should be able to enjoy unfettered. And the continued lack of free flow of information from the county to folks like myself and others does not jive with the county's newly adopted motto or statement or company phrase or whatever you want to refer to it as in terms of transparency. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Cool. Marshall, Lamster.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on some earlier conversation. Since that conversation, we have been successful in acquiring several cases of hand sanitizers, and we will be furnishing those to the seniors or those in need at the food distribution this coming Friday.
Terrific. Terrific. Thank you, Lance.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Chris Thompson requests to be recognized.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to go back to what...
Let me stop you for a second. If I get you, go ahead and identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager. I'd like to go back to a second for something that Sheriff Antonaro brought up, which I think is a very good point. And I'm in total agreement that I think it's something that the county ought to look at. And that is, as opposed to pushing off these business fees for 3 months, but still requiring the businesses to pay them at the end of that 3 month period of time, that the businesses that were totally shut down by the COVID-19 order, perhaps the county could look at waiving fees on a pro rata basis for the time frame that the businesses were shut down. It would seem like the same police power that allows the state and or the county to shut so-called non-essential businesses down because of the pandemic should allow the county and or state to waive fees during that shutdown period. So I just wanted to bring up that point and provide my full support on that. I think for small businesses, that would be a great thing to do for them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Mr. Thompson. All right. Continuing on with the public comment. Additional public comment? All right. Well, I look forward to when we can all be back in the courthouse together to resume these meetings. But until then, we're going to go ahead and recess for now. We'll reconvene 10 a.m. tomorrow morning right here.